Grace and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to St. Paul Borcher's Sunday Snippets. This is a time in our busy weeks where we take a moment to pause and reflect on the scripture text for this given day. So let us begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reading for today comes from the sixth chapter of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings, with two covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me! I am lost, and for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Before starting my internship here at Borcher's, I've been at seminary the last 2 years doing a lot of academic work on learning all the different parts of the church and theology and all these wonderful things that we use to do ministry in the world today. And one of the things that we hear a lot and we read a lot about in seminary are people's call stories. These are experiences that people have that led them to take up a calling to serve God's mission, to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves in the world today. I think a common misconception, an easy notion to fall into, is that only pastors and deacons or interns are people who experience these call stories. These moments where we feel nudged by God, where we see and hear God calling out to us to take up and serve in these roles in the church. But everyone, each one of us, you and me, we all experience these call stories in our lives, these places in every part of our life, in every vocation that we have as a parent and a child and a sibling, as a worker wherever we are working, or as a citizen of whatever country we're living in. In all of these places, we experience that calling from God, that experience where God invites us to come and see what God is doing around us and through us today. It's also in these callings, these call stories, that they range from just little things that catch our attention or have been bugging us for a while, that moves us to act. Or in this case, from our passage for today, these larger-than-life visions of God's presence coming to us. And this is part of Isaiah's call story in this passage we read for today, that while Isaiah is in the temple comes to life in this powerful and awe-inspiring way, that he sees the hem of God's robe, the very bottom of God's robe, fill the temple space, that God is bigger than we can see or imagine or comprehend. That the symbols in the church that's decorated with images of seraphs and angels come to life as they begin singing, "Holy, holy, holy." I want you to just imagine that for a moment. Being in Isaiah's position, that the temple comes to life in this powerful, awe-inspiring way. Just imagine for a moment the symbols we use to decorate this sanctuary space coming to life in that same way. Just imagine you're in here and the stained glass of Jesus praying comes to life in this way that cannot be explained, or the dove on the banner on the altar flying out before us, this space coming to life. It sounds cool, but I think if I was in Isaiah's position, I would be horrified and likely run away, because this is a powerful vision, a powerful call story that Isaiah is experiencing. And while I might run away if the image of Jesus and the dove started coming to life, we do get to see Isaiah's response to what he is seeing. As these things come to life, we see Isaiah respond by confessing to God his own sense of unworthiness and shortcoming. Which is kind of odd considering what Isaiah has been doing prior to this vision, this experience of God calling to him. Then the last five chapters, the beginning of Isaiah, he's been serving as a prophet for God's people. You know, a prophet not necessarily, you know, telling fortunes and seeing into the future, but as a prophet, Isaiah has been calling out society on the ways that it leaves people oppressed and suffering in the world. Calling out society for the ways that they have turned from this love and justice that God invites them to live out in their lives. And he's been doing that in this faithful way as a prophet. But it's in this moment, experiencing this presence of God, Isaiah sees in his own life this sense of unworthiness, this feeling of doubt to continue serving as God's prophet for the people. I think that's a common thing in call stories that we see and hear, that sense of doubt, that feeling of unworthiness. That I imagine that Isaiah recalls all the things he's done and left undone in his life. He considers how unworthy he is to continue serving this role as a prophet. And he says before God, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips." Even though he's been serving in this office as a prophet, he still has this feeling of unworthiness and doubt. We can turn to other call stories throughout the Bible and see others respond in a similar way. If we go all the way back to Exodus 3, the call story of Moses and the burning bush, As God tells Moses, "I am going to send you to Pharaoh to free my people in Egypt." Moses responds to God that, "Who am I that you would send?" Because it's earlier in Moses' life that he killed an Egyptian worker, that he fled Egypt as a coward. That even Moses experiences that same feeling of unworthiness and doubt to answer that calling from God. And I think that's such a common thing in call stories because we all miss the mark in our lives today. You have all had things, we've all done things and left undone things in our lives that hurt or wronged those around us. We can just look at the cross and remember that the reason why God sends his Son to die for the world is because we are the ones in need of saving. That in our lives today, we might find ourselves loving those family and friends who are easy to love, but we struggle and fall short to love those who are difficult to love in our lives today. That we've all fallen short of this calling from God because none of us are perfect. I think it's in those moments that we experience that overwhelming doubt, that overwhelming unworthiness. In those moments that we feel God nudging us, or we see and hear God calling out to us, we turn back to this story, Isaiah's call story, and see what God does in this moment for Isaiah. That as after Isaiah makes this confession of being a man of unclean lips, a seraph brings a coal from the altar where sacrifices are made for forgiveness. And the seraph places this coal on Isaiah's lips, and it becomes this symbol of God using it to blot out, to forgive Isaiah's unclean lips in all of his sins, in all of his shortcomings as being human. That God does this for Isaiah not only so that Isaiah might know this love and mercy of God, but I also think it's so that Isaiah might be inspired and moved to respond in the bold way he does when God asks at the end, "Who shall we send?" And Isaiah boldly proclaims, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And it's in our lives today that God does the same for us. Through this sacrifice at the cross, through this sacrifice of Christ on the cross, that God has given to us that same forgiveness for our unclean lips, for our sins and shortcomings. Not only so that we might know and experience this love and mercy and grace from God, but I also think so that we might also be bold too. For when we feel that nudge from God, wherever it is in our life, whether it's at home or at work or at the Walmart or the Kroger, where we feel that nudge from God to act in a way to live out that love for God and neighbor. When we see and hear that calling from God to boldly go forth in living out God's mission to love God and love neighbor. Not only those family and friends and those living beside us who are easy to love, but to also answer that challenge, to feel that challenge, to love those who aren't easy for us to love. And trusting in those moments we feel that doubt and unworthiness. These symbols in the church of the cross and Christ praying and of the dove remind us that God promises to forgive us, to pray for us, to send this Spirit for us, to lead us forth in responding to that call. As as we go out into the world today, trusting in those promises that our unworthiness, our shortcomings are forgiven. Where do you feel, see, and hear those places in and outside the church where God is inviting you into that mission of loving God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and loving our neighbor as ourself? Wherever that takes you, wherever God leads you, I invite you to remember that we are all unworthy. We all experience doubt, and we are all forgiven to go forth and follow God in all that we do. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Trinity, three in one and one in three, we give you thanks for the ways you give and remind us of your love, mercy, and forgiveness through the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Empower us with your Spirit to listen, see, and feel the ways you call us to go out and serve the church, the world, and those in need of your good news today. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, with us and guiding us always. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.